Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Most entrepreneurs chase growth until they run out of gas or time. But what if the real measure of success isn't how much you scale, but how much life you live along the way? Today's guest, Leo Gestetner, built thriving businesses and global teams without sacrificing his health or family in the process. And he's here to show us how. By the end of this episode, you'll learn how to integrate ambition with alignment, build sustainable habits that actually stick, and fulfillment that goes beyond the hustle. So if you've ever felt like balance is impossible, you're in the right place. Leo, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. So let's rewind to your teenage years, Leo. 13 years old, starting a business. What was the first spark of entrepreneurship for you?
Yeah, I've always done my own thing. I think the first spark would have been, actually, my family had received a computer, an early days of computer from my grandmother's, a present for me, my brother and sister. And I was the one using it. I wanted something better, so I sold it secondhand, bought something new. Thought, actually, that's quite easy. It's obviously before the internet. So I started buying and selling secondhand computers, and then went on from there.
So getting introduced to computers, I want something better. You sold it secondhand, bought a new one. Was there someone in your family or community that modeled that drive early on, or was it just, hey, I want the fastest thing?
I come from quite an entrepreneurial family, so definitely in the DNA. But you know, for me, it was, I guess you would say, a need, like a lot of entrepreneurial comes from. That original spark is a need, and then it grows from there.
Nice. Now you've carried that spark through every phase of life, but what shifted as you got older? When did the focus move from just success to sustainable success?
I think for me, there is nothing more important than living what I would, you know, describe as a balanced life. For me, that definition is, working out what you want across those different areas. Hmm. So sustainable for me is, I think there's no point in working hard if along with that, you don't have a quality of life. That's spending time with family, that's being healthy, having some fun along the way.
You know, fun is the name of the game, because with that fun, you liven up your life, and you know, you're showing up with more passion than anything else. And that's why we like to have fun, and that's why I call this Hacks and Hobbies, because there's so many different hobbies that help us elevate. And from talking to you, you know, you became an athlete at a rather later state in your life. Is that about correct?
Yeah, I mean, if you'd have met me 20 years ago, I was 95 pounds heavier than I am now, sort of 50% larger. I'm by far the healthiest and fittest I've been in my life. I'm doing triathlons, running marathons. Did my first marathon last year, actually. I've done three now. I'll do three a year for the next few years. I've already got scheduled. And my aim is complete the world. Well, I would say the world's seven majors. By the time I complete it, there'll probably be nine of them, because they're expanding them. But yeah, I enjoy it. I like achievable challenges. And, you know, fitness is definitely one of those things that is addictive. And, you know, if you look at health span versus longevity, like I don't care how long I live for, but if you look at health span, which is being healthy until you die, you know, health and fitness is certainly one of those biggest factors that allows you to have that quality of life as you grow older.
100%. So let me ask you this quick question, because growing up, I wasn't really an athletic. I, you know, barely I played sports, but I wasn't really great at them. You know, I was the last pick most of the times playing any of the sports. Were you athletic at all growing up?
I mean, my father likes to say that my autobiography, the title will be From Couch Potato to Fitness Freak.
I like that because, you know, it actually gives me hope because not being an athlete and then I'm hanging out with these other athletes who are cyclists, you know, doing 6,000 miles in 1 year. And here I am trying to, you know, huff and puff, complete these 20, 30 miles of ride. So there is hope for all of us because, like you said, you 20 years ago, you were twice the size. And now you are the fittest ever been at, you know, in your, was that, 50s? It gives
me
hope.
Yeah, I'm 52 now.
Right,
yeah.
You're 52. I'm going to be 50 next year. So it gives me hope that there is hope for me that I can also, you know, achieve things if I put my mind and my body to it.
It's remarkable what we can achieve if we put our mind to it.
It's amazing, right? So, Leo, you can build a business that funds your life. And the one that consumes it, the difference isn't luck, it's discipline. So talk to me about the discipline. You've built teams across time zones and you kept your health and family intact. And you know, something that I am struggling with right now is to find time or make time so that I can go to the gym, so that I can do those, you know, 2 hour bike rides. How have you pulled that off? What routines or boundaries helped you put that together?
I think for a start, what gets scheduled gets done. So if you're not actually scheduling that time, then yes, it's not going to happen because we all get busy. You know, an entrepreneur's to-do list is never completed. So yes, it's important to schedule that and to work out where your priorities are, whether that be, as you talked about, that sort of health and fitness, or whether that be family.
I love it. You know, you're absolutely right. What gets scheduled is what gets done. And if this podcast recording was not on my schedule, we wouldn't be recording it right now, right? So I'm glad that I have some kind of semblance of, you know, I got to put stuff on my calendar to be able to say, hey, I have these times available, I have these times open. But sometimes we have a lot of open times and then you end up doing a ton of different things. So I love that you shared, you got to schedule in the time so that you can actually go out and do it. Now, Leo, a lot of people confuse busyness with productivity. How do you stay intentional instead of reactive? Because, oh my God, the entire world is full of reactive people, police, fire, like all of the, even doctors, they're all completely reactive businesses.
Yeah, I mean, we all do some of that and we all get stuck in those patterns. There's no question. I mean, it's human nature. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there always will be some reactivity, especially, you know, in business. There's certain things that you have to react to. There's an emergency that just happened. There's a customer who calls you. This needs doing now. Well, okay, sometimes it does need doing now. So there's always going to be some of that reactivity. Mm-hmm. But proactivity, I think it's really planning what's important to you. It's planning both, you know, business and the personal sides, and being proactive with what it is you want to achieve. And as you know, it's looking at those lists and working out what can you do that allowed the most value today.
You're absolutely right. What we value gets some more time. And it sounds like your philosophy isn't about managing the time. It's managing the energy. It's managing the philosophy. It's managing what is really important. Now, if you run marathons and trekked the Camino, both huge endurance tests, and tell you the truth, I don't think I could do it. I did a 5K run a few years ago, and my toe was hurt. My right toe was hurting, and I just had a gout attack. And I'm like, I don't know why I'm doing this. I should be resting my foot. How have these experiences for you influenced your approach to entrepreneurship? Or was that something that's very current?
You know, it's one of the things I've actually found interesting is a year and a half ago, you know, I was running half marathons and I was doing triathlons, sort of Olympic triathlon. And if I ran, let's say I'd run a 12, 14 mile run, which I didn't do that often, maybe once a week, once a month, I'd do like a long run like that. Mm-hmm. And I'd feel it, you know, for a week, I would be sore. The interesting thing is, as I trained for the marathon, which actually you don't do a lot of super long runs with marathon training, but as I did, you know, some 16 mile runs, you know, the odd 18 mile run, you know, probably a couple of 20 mile, 22 mile runs over the last year. Actually, I can now go for a 16 mile run and I'd be fine the next day. Mm. So your body very, very quickly becomes accustomed, the same as your mind, as you learn things. You know, you can become accustomed to what you want, to what's important. And yeah, I think that the marathon is definitely, the training for the marathon has definitely helped realize some of that. And, you know, I think, you know, that there was a great saying that someone talked to me about. And, you know, they really, it's talking about, you know, a marathon as, you know, what's important and about achieving. And, you know, it is, if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Yes.
That's the first thing.
That's right.
You know, it's, you know, I think it's what makes it important. And I'm going to read out something actually that someone I actually had on my podcast talked about, which he's an ultra marathoner who has also trained a lot of people for marathons. And he was quoting quite a famous speech, actually, which I think was at Stanford. Could be wrong. But he said, you have to be able to roll with the punches. You have to be able to follow your dreams. So, you know, you can say that's in running or that's in business. Mm-hmm. The wall, so, you know, the wall in running, you know, is when you hit that wall, your body's like, okay, I've had enough. Whether you can continue, some people can't continue, some people can, you know, for me, my first marathon, I hit the wall at 18.7 miles and I finished it, but I mean, it was pain every step for the rest of it. But so a wall can sometimes stop you, sometimes slow you right down. But the wall isn't there to stop you from your dreams. The wall is there to see how badly you want it. It's there to keep the other people out. If it was easy, it wouldn't be as meaningful and everybody would do it. The wall is there to test how much you want it. You're able to overcome the wall. That is what makes a marathon finish as satisfying. You had to take your fear and doubt and stare it in the face. And I, you know, what I love about that is I think a lot of that you could put into business as well.
Mm-hmm. No, that's really true. Having the ability and the resilience to keep going past that resistance, I think is the biggest thing. There was a moment where, you know, both my wife and I were in the kitchen. She got something from the fridge and the fridge closed. And I tried to catch the door to avoid that resistance, like tiny resistance that you feel when you're opening that door. Because all of the blessings and all of the gifts are past that resistance, you know, that tiny bit of resistance. And we try to avoid it as much as we can. So thanks for sharing. You know, when you hit that wall, you've got to go past it, because if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. And that's why there's only, yeah, I think less than 1% of the human population are entrepreneurs.
Interesting fact. You know, I was reading an article this morning and it was the Corning CEO. Mm-hmm. So he'd been the CEO for 20 plus years. He's probably best known for Gorilla Glass, in other words, mm-hmm. the iPhone screens. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Steve Jobs went to see him 6 months before the first iPhone launched, 18 odd years ago now. And he said to him, you know, I want to basically have your glass in the iPhone. And the guy said, we can't do it. We cannot mass produce. Like, it was a newish product. They just had no capability mm-hmm. to produce it. Mm-hmm. And Steve Jobs turned around to him and said, do you know what your biggest problem is? You're afraid. And I'm afraid of failure. You're not trying because you're afraid of failure. And that with entrepreneurialism is one of the things that really has made America traditionally so successful versus a lot of other countries, which is failure's okay in America. You know, most successful entrepreneurs have failed on their path to being successful entrepreneurs.
Amen.
If you don't push beyond the boundaries, you're not really an entrepreneur, generally. Well, and if you push beyond the boundaries, not everything's going to be successful. Well, a lot of countries, you know, it's a negative if things haven't worked. The UK tried, I don't remember, probably 20, 25 years ago to change sort of bankruptcy type laws and insolvency laws to make it less negative. So you know what? You did nothing wrong, but the business failed. You know, there wasn't fraud. There wasn't, you know, that's okay. Mm. So in America, you know, that is okay. It happens. Not everything is going to be successful.
Leo, you're absolutely right. And that's so powerful to take failure on, you know, take failure head on, because on the other side of it, you're going to learn something. Hey, why did this not work? Why did that not work? And you're going to be more sure. At first, you're going to be miserable or devastated for the failure. But once you're out of that funk, you're like, okay, what really went wrong? How can I make it better and come back even stronger? I think it was Thomas Alva Edison who said, I didn't fail 10,000 times. I know 10,000 ways why it would or why it wouldn't work, and we wouldn't have electricity or, you know, light as we know it if that wasn't the case. Now, last question for you: what do those long journeys teach you about pacing yourself in business and in life? Because again, these marathons are long, business is also long, life is long. So, talk to us about what does it teach pacing yourself in business?
I'm going to ask, you cut out slightly on that question. So
I'll repeat it.
Sorry to ask, but would you mind repeating that question?
Yeah. So the question was, what do those long journeys teach you about pacing yourself in business and in life?
Well, that's an interesting one. And it's something that I've definitely learned as I've got older, you know. Take a pause, take a breath. Mm. You know, that's something that, you know, I've learned. I used to just be go, 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 go. And I've tried to stop for a moment. You know, what does a long run teach you? You know, it's pace yourself, which, again, I'm not always the best at doing. Start too fast, you're going to run out of steam pretty quickly. Mm. But pace yourself for the long term. There's a reason they say it's a marathon, not a sprint. And you could argue that's life as well. You know, I'm learning a lot at the moment in terms of I'm going through a completely new phase in my life. I mean, my kids have left home and I'm now a digital nomad. I'm talking to you right now in Portugal. Next time I talk to you, I don't know, I could be anywhere. I was in Spain last week. I'll be somewhere in Latin America in a couple of weeks. You know, it's an interesting new chapter that means that actually challenges the way that I do things and think about things because you're pushing out of your comfort zone, which I think is a good thing.
Absolutely is. It absolutely is. It pushes out your comfort. When you push yourself out of the comfort zone, you learn something new about yourself. And talking about comfort zone, right, a seed that you plant in the ground can grow underground, but then to push out to the top of the soil takes considerable amount of energy, and that's when it's coming out of its comfort zone and you see the growth. Leo, this conversation already feels like a masterclass in balance, but I know there's so much more, right? And I really enjoyed having this conversation with you. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find you and connect with you if they want to learn more about you and the amazing things that you're doing?
Well, thank you. They can always find me on LinkedIn. So if you look up Leo Gestetner on LinkedIn, I'm the only one. You can also go to my personal website, which is leogestetner.com. So leogestetner.com. And there's lots of information about me there as well.
Perfect, Leo. Thank you so much. In part two, we're going to go deeper into how to protect your energy, lead teams without losing yourself, and build a better business that takes, that makes life richer, not smaller. So thank you so much again, Leo. I can't wait to have another conversation with you.
Thank you. Great to chat with you.
Absolutely. All right, guys, thank you so much for sticking around. This was a fun conversation with Leo. We learned about balancing, protecting your energy, and without losing yourself, or, you know, all the stuff about balance and what it means to stay resilient and keep going the way, because that's going to help you grow. All right, we'll catch you in the next episode as we go deeper into the story. Thank you for listening to Hacks and Hobbies. You can find additional information on the guest today on their website, hacksandhobbies.com. Please feel free to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on upcoming interviews with amazing guests.